Hello and welcome to our INE office hours for the month of June 2015. I'm excited to be here and I'm at your service to answer whatever questions you have, go over any cases that you want to go over. If you've got labs that you want me to look at, hopefully you've uploaded them and I can find them easily. You know the best way to send me labs if you want me to go through or a case history is to use the uploader that's on the site. And if you go to the site and you go to, I think it's support, or let's see, supporter resources. It's, under resources tab, at the very bottom it says file uploader, and that's where you can upload your file and you tell me what it is. So if you have labs or you have a case history or you want me to go through a client or your own, I don't mind if they're your own because I think we can learn a lot from looking at each other's labs. So raise your hand, star 2, or type in on the Q&A and let me know if you have a question or want anything done. So, okay, so it looks like Steph said she submitted labs in a spreadsheet on the file uploader yesterday. Okay. And Tony says, I'm leaving the call early. So, Tony, let me know if you want me to go over your stuff on this call or if you want to wait till the NEPT call. I think it's next week. And then Mary's here. Hi, Mary. Great. All right. We're ready. Okay. So, Tony, no lab today since I may be leaving early. Okay. So, we'll do it next week, Tony. Hi, everybody. I'm Emma. Okay, great. 3:15 is your 3:15, so that's only 15 minutes from now. So let's see. Modesto, is that Jane? Hello?
Yes, that's Jane.
It's Jane, yes. I have all this, like, I have these little interpretation programs that go on in my brain, like places that people don't live, but I get to recognize that that's where it shows up, and names that are totally different than the person's name. But so it's kind of fun from that regard. I have this game that I play.
Okay. So I had some questions as I was going through the physical exam modules and the digestion modules. Can I ask those?
Sure.
Okay. So I don't know if I missed this. I've been listening to a couple of times. But in the physical exam, when you're looking at respirations and pulse, is there a normal baseline? I didn't see. What am I looking for? Like how many number of respirations or pulse beats?
Oh, yeah, that should have been listed. Respirations somewhere between like 12 and 16 is kind of normal.
Okay.
Yeah. And pulse, you know, we look at 72 is what they consider average. I like to look, it depends on whether the person's athletic or not, but 72 is considered average. I don't like to see it.
And that's in a minute?
In a minute, yep, yeah. So if you're taking it in 15 seconds, you multiply by 4.
Okay, great. Question about herpes. I have a few, so I'll go through. Try to go through this fast.
Sure.
Herpes virus. Is the herpes virus, is it always in the body? Can you ever get rid of it? I don't know much about it because it, you know, how it could just kind of like say like herpes on the lips, you know,
yep,
that kind of thing that comes up all the time. Is this something you can actually get rid of or does it kind of stay in the body like chickenpox?
Kind of stays in the body like chickenpox. In fact, they're related.
They
live in, and herpes lives in the nerve root. And I've never seen any indication that you can actually get rid of the herpes altogether, but you can control it via the stress response and some diet things and all that. But I've never seen any evidence. Maybe there is, but I haven't seen it where you can actually get rid of it completely.
Okay. Is there something like a depletion of some kind of nutrient where it literally pops up and out?
Yep. Balance between arginine and lysine.
Okay.
So when the arginine levels get too high, in relationship to the lysine, and that's why a lot of times when the herpes pops up, we have people take lysine. So you really have it to maintain that balance. And it's a tough balance because arginine is super important for making nitric oxide, which helps support and supply the endothelium, amongst other things. So we have to balance it. And certain foods are higher in arginine, which is why people will say when you have a herpes outbreak, don't eat nuts and chocolate because they tend to be higher in arginine and take plenty of lysine.
Oh, okay.
And if it's a really bad outbreak, that's true. If it's not, you might be able to get take enough lysine to make up for it. But, yeah, the arginine-lysine balance appears to be the most important. And, you know, certainly anything that supports immune function would be helpful. So vitamin C is often used as well. Excuse me.
Okay, great.
Yep.
Yeah, because I'm trying to kind of understand that because that shows up when people do my liver cleanse. Like there's a lot of herpes outbreak.
I wonder, I would look at it. Are you doing any amino acid? I don't remember doing an amino acid supplement. So it's probably the stress of the body releasing the toxins and not being able to maybe get rid of them as quickly as they could. Because, you know, it happens under stress. Sun is one thing that's a big trigger for herpes. Stress is a huge trigger for it.
Okay. All right. The next thing, alcohol. So does alcohol, when you ingest alcohol, does it, like, just deplete everything in the liver? You know, because I know a lot of B vitamins, B12 is stored in the liver. So does it just kind of deplete it and just eat it up?
And what other nutrients? It's hard to say everything because there's no absolutes. But it certainly depletes B vitamins significantly. The B vitamins are required for metabolizing it, and it doesn't contain any B vitamins. So alcohol is like drinking pure sugar in that it depletes your B vitamins. It puts a lot of strain on the liver. It produces acetaldehyde. It actually has been shown that it kills brain cells.
Right. So when I think of alcohol, then just think like sugar. Pretty much.
It's actually a higher glycemic than sugar. Yep.
Okay. So
it's funny because I see people that don't do sugar. Oh, I don't eat sugar. I'm on a low glycemic diet, and then they drink wine. It doesn't make sense.
So you can pretty much put those two together, alcohol and sugar, in the same category.
Yep. Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely.
On the face with acne, and when we're looking at the face physical exam, and you know, on the face physical exam, where things are around the face, kind of tells you if you've got breakouts on certain places in the face. Now, acne, is acne the same way? Like, say, if acne shows up on the nose, right? And I forget, is that heart? I forget what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Is that acne related to that organ too?
I think it could be if it's consistent. I mean, acne a lot of times just seems to be random. You get one on your forehead, then you get one on your nose, and then they're all over. I don't think that really has anything to do with it. But if it's very consistently that it's just keeps showing up in the same place, I think really why not? It's any kind of eruption that's suggesting that there's some energetic imbalance in that meridian.
Okay. Let's see. So chewing, in the digestion module, you were talking about chewing, and you said that chewing has something to do with feeling full. And I also thought that it also had to do with the stomach stretching and the hormone released with the stomach stretching.
I don't know about that. I think that the chewing certainly is preparing the body hormonally and enzymatically for saying, you know, okay, let's get this started. But it affects the reflexes under the tongue because things stay in the tongue, in the mouth longer. But I don't know about stretch.
I'll have to look it up because I believe I learned this in the certification program for the raw food nutrition class. So I'll look it up because that was actually stressed more, the stomach stretching, than the chewing.
Interesting.
Not that chewing wasn't important, but when it had the feeling full factor, a hormone is released when the stomach stretches past a certain volume.
The stomach stretching is more related to the feeling full, not the chewing related to the stomach stretching?
Or both. Is it chewing and stomach stretching?
Well, yeah, so stomach stretching will definitely relate to the feeling of full. Absolutely.
Because I forget which hormone it actually triggers, right? It triggers.
Yeah, I don't remember off the top of my head which one it is. Is whether it's not cholecystokinin. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I can't remember off the top of my head either. Okay.
Right, but definitely the stretching has to do with the feeling of full, but the chewing helps you to feel full. Because when you don't chew well, you're just bolting the food down that you don't even have the chance for any of the reactions to happen properly. You just like boom, 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 and you don't feel full because things are going down too quickly. And you're beyond the feeling of full when you actually feel it. Whereas if you chew, you're swallowing it. Everything's going down more thoroughly and more slowly. You get that feeling of full and satiation.
So you have the time. You have the time to feel full.
You have the time to feel full.
Got it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Now I get it. Okay.
Yep.
All right. So I had read somewhere, and this is about drinking water during meals. I had read somewhere that obviously enzymes need water in order to work properly and aid in digestion. And I hear, you know, there's all this, you know, not drinking while eating meals. And so it sounds like a little bit of a conflict. And, I mean, I can understand the theory of drinking water and diluting the hydrochloric acid. Is that an actual, have they actually studied that it does actually dilute hydrochloric acid when you drink water and eat meals?
You know, I can't point to a particular study, but my recollection is that there is study there. But think about it this way. If you're eating food, the typical foods that you're eating, if you're eating a good, healthy balance of foods, they're loaded with water themselves. So that fluid is enough to trigger the digestive enzymes. But if you're sitting there eating a loaf of bread or a bunch of crackers, then you probably should be drinking with it because there's not enough liquid in there to really make the food digest properly.
Okay. Kind of in passing heard if you've got thyroid problems, no cabbage juice. Is that hypo or hyperthyroid?
Great. So, yeah, so high cabbage juice in high quantities, you know, if you're just adding cabbage to a juice, it's no big deal. But if you're actually drinking like a pint, a quart, or 2 quarts of cabbage juice, it will suppress thyroid function. So they actually use it therapeutically in people with hyperthyroid, have a couple of quarts of cabbage juice every day.
Okay, so in hypo, then be careful.
In hypo, you wouldn't want to do it.
Okay, got it. You mentioned venous return when we're is in the upper GI module. I don't know what that is.
Venous return would be the return of the blood up through the veins back to the heart.
Okay, got it.
Yep.
Okay. All right, that's all my questions. Thank you.
Great questions. Good. All right, so who's in next? Let me close her. And we have Shonda. Hi, Shonda.
Hello.
Hey. So did you want me to go over some labs? I saw something like that on Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay, where did you submit them?
I uploaded them through the INE
Perfect.
Website.
So I am going to go. We have difficulty. Sometimes they don't come to my inbox, and sometimes they do. But if they don't come to my inbox, I just have to go in the back end.
Okay.
Okay. So you did it yesterday?
Yeah.
Annie. Uploader. Here we go. Yay, it's here. Except the file didn't come through here, so I do have to look it up back in the back end. Sometimes the files don't come through to my email, and sometimes they do. No way to predict. All right, so let me go in there. Okay, so I'm going to type in, here, file. I upload it right there. And, boy, a bunch of you did it today. Jeff did it today, and Heather did it today. So is yours SKLATTEH?
Yep.
Okay, got it. All right, so here's your panel. Which kind of panel did you upload? Is it your adrenal?
Yep.
Okay, perfect.
With Estrone?
Oh, good. Those, like the 205, the one that they did from?
205E.
Perfect. All right. I have to save it, and then I have to open it. So give me a second to do that. There it is.
Yep.
And okay, so the way we're going to do this is to have you do it. If anybody wants to look at this, I can open up the Join Me, join.me/DrRitaMarie, and I could just share it on my screen. So if anybody wants to watch it, you can. So join.me/DrRitaMarie. And, okay, I'm going to unlock it. There we go. All right, so you guys can see it. So join.me/DrRitaMarieLynn or somebody, if you type it in the chat, that way people make sure they know they've never been here. Okay, so let me take a quick look and get a sense. And okay, so tell me what your thoughts are. We're looking at the cortisol now.
Okay, so I'm not really sure because it doesn't quite fit in to what I've read so far on which stage, but my cortisol looks okay in the morning, mm-hmm. and it's low at noon. It's mm-hmm. 3 at noon and low at night mm-hmm. and low normal in the afternoon. So, but my DHEA seems to be okay.
Okay, so let's go back to okay. So DHEA is okay according to their reference range.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the standards we've talked about, we've said I really like to see it at least 6, if not 7.
Okay.
Okay. So a couple of things here. When you're looking at like trying to put it into a category, and sometimes people are on borderlines and they're, you know, mm-hmm. at the edge of one and into another and it's mixed. But we start with the cortisol sum. We say, is the cortisol sum high, normal, or low? And in this case, it's low normal, but it's in the normal range.
Yeah.
Okay, so we start there, and it's probably a 2. Now, when you have cortisol that's normal, it could either be a stage 2 or the person is perfectly fine. We look at yours, and we say, well, you can't be perfectly fine, right, because you've got numbers out of range.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd call it a 2. So this... usually you're going to see the DHEA low. Now, yours is not terribly low. Like some of them we've seen that were like 0.2, which is mm-hmm. ridiculous. But the range they give is not the optimal range.
Okay.
Right? So even if you were all at, like say you were at a 13, a 5, a 4, and a 1 with a total cortisol of 23, I wouldn't call you normal.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, nobody calls me normal, but I'm
yeah, we don't want to be normal anyway. But that would just be at the low end of the range. So it's a flag. And I see this mistake, which is why I want to point it out. I see this mistake. People will come in with their tests and say, oh, I saw a naturopath, and they said that this is perfectly normal. And I look at it, I said, where did they go to school? Mm-hmm. Right? This is not normal. You don't want to be at the very low end of the range. I like to see people right where you are in the morning is nice. It's at the, you know, a little bit above the 50 percentile. That's a good place to be.
Okay,
so you're basically low the rest of the day.
Which explains why I feel tired
all day long.
All the time.
Yeah, so you're a clear stage 2.
Okay.
And you're even heading towards a stage 1 because you're a 23.
Okay.
All right, so we want to get you out of this now before you go into stage 3.
And I feel like that fits with how I feel.
That feels perfect. Sometimes it doesn't. People say, well, I thought I was stage 1 and I'm a stage 3. It's like, what planet are you living on? You know, people just are deceiving themselves. Or they've just never had energy before. So they don't even know what it feels like to have energy.
I'm pretty sure that I've been much, much worse. and like 2 years ago, I was going to quit working.
Wow.
So.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So this is better.
This is better than what you felt like you were a couple of years
ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
It's great. And you feel that? Do you feel like it's easy to get up in the morning, but then harder throughout the day?
No, I wouldn't say that because I have a lot of trouble sleeping.
Mm.
Like, a lot of trouble. And I have since I was in my 20s.
You might want to do this again. When you retest, do it with the nighttime one.
Yeah, and I didn't realize there was one that had that until I heard it on a call. And I was like, oh, I already ordered mine, and oh, well.
Yeah.
I could do a single cortisol that I do at night. I know I can send that in.
Yeah, you could. But, you know, it's just...
You want to do it all.
Yeah, you'd want to see the whole thing because you never know if it's an unusual day or...
Right.
Okay. You just want to see how it fits with that pattern for the day. Yeah, I would just wait. I would just address this and then in 3 months do it again.
So then my question is about my nighttime cortisol and my morning cortisol. So I don't really know. I'm sort of guessing that every day these can be somewhat different depending on the day. And I take supplements at night because I had always assumed and had been told that because of my symptoms, my cortisol was probably high at night. So I've been taking supplements that are supposed to lower your cortisol at night so I can sleep. Okay. So I wonder if that's even worth it. And I didn't take anything on this day. If my cortisol is low at night, is there any point in taking?
No, if it's truly low at night, I don't think there's a point in taking like phosphatidylserine or anything like that that would lower it, or magnolia or anything like that. Yeah. So, but it might be rising after this. And if you had been taking that at night and you just didn't take it one night, it's still not, it probably wouldn't jump up just in one night.
Right.
Right, 'cause it's still in your system. So I would say I think it's basically the safest thing to say is we don't really know what the heck's happening at night.
Because
if you're having trouble sleeping, are you having trouble falling asleep or staying asleep?
Very seldom. I usually fall asleep within minutes.
Great.
And then in an hour, I'm awake.
In an hour?
In an hour and a half.
Whoa.
By 11:30, I'm awake.
Wow.
As if it's morning.
As if it's morning, so bright and alert, and then you have to really struggle to get back to sleep, and then by morning, you're not feeling so hot.
Yeah. And so when I look at my melatonin's on here, and I look at my melatonin level. And it's 12.2. And again, that doesn't feel good to me because it's on the low range there.
It's really low. Yeah.
And in my program, when we talk about melatonin and other nutritionists talk about it, they never recommend melatonin because we were told that if you take it, your body will get used to you taking it. It'll stop producing it.
You know, there could be some merit to that. And in general, any kind of hormones, you do have to be really careful. But you want to take physiologic doses, not pharmacological doses. And that's wherein lies the problem. So a lot of people will come in, let's just say, with pregnenolone or DHEA, and they're taking 100 milligrams of pregnenolone and 50 milligrams of DHEA. That's going to suppress their body's own production.
Okay.
But if you just fill in the gaps and you take very small doses, I like to start with melatonin by encouraging your body to make more. And there's a couple of ways you could do that. One is all the sleep hygiene stuff that I go through in the Before Be Gone and the IRSBT parts of the program, right, with the dimming the lights, and you're obviously going to bed early, making sure you're off the computer for a couple of hours beforehand, you know, trying the calming herbs and the, you know, various things. But the dimming the lights, like as soon as it gets dark out there, your indoor lights need to reflect that.
So where I live, it gets dark at midnight.
Lovely.
I mean, in the summer, the sun doesn't go down until.
Okay, so you're going to create that artificial. Yeah. Like, you go indoors and you shut all the lights. Do you have good shades? Do people up there have good shades?
Well, I'm thinking about it now. Like, we usually hang out in our living room, which wouldn't be dim, but we have a basement, right? And it's dark down there. So maybe I need to hang out in the basement.
You're relegated to the basement. You just might experiment with that and just see if it makes a difference. So if you're sitting there and you go into bed at 10 o'clock and it's bright light and you go to sleep and it's bright light outside, you wake up at midnight. Yeah. But
well,
we don't have all year.
Yeah, we don't have bright light in our bedroom. I have blackout blinds, blackout curtains. Now, I keep the window open a bit because it gets hot.
Oh, no, fresh air is good. You need that. That's great. But I would say the blackouts are good. I would just go in the bedroom sooner.
Okay.
Like, figuring, like, in a regular, ordinary, like, closer to the equator type environment, you would probably 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, it would get dark.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I would say, but if you're going to bed at 10, I would give yourself 2 hours before that to start the melatonin going. So maybe, you know, just experiment with this for a few days, for a week, and see if it makes a difference.
Okay.
Of going in the bedroom and just, you know, turning down the lights, and you can have a candlelight. You can socialize with your husband, or you can read or something. But the low lighting, no computer, no TV, no electronics, and just experiment with that and see if that's the piece. It's just really a matter of finding what is that stressor for you that's creating the low melatonin.
I've read everything on sleep I think that I could get my hands on.
Yeah, and so you're doing all of it.
I do most of it. Not, I mean, I'm not perfect some days. But I certainly, like, we have no TV in our room. We have blackout blinds. I worked one night in the evening because I had to get some stuff done for a client the next day, and then I was awake all night. So I'm not on electronics.
I would say you're doing all that stuff, so try this extra thing of going in the bedroom so you're not even having light from that 8 o'clock on.
Okay.
See if that makes it. Do it for a week so you have enough time to see if that makes a difference. It might make a subtle difference. But you might want to look at the nutrients that create melatonin. So melatonin gets created from serotonin, serotonin from 5-hydroxytryptophan. So some people do really well with taking the 5-hydroxytryptophan with the vitamin B6, which is the cofactor, and then seeing if you make more melatonin on your own.
Okay.
But if you don't, if you try that, give it another month. If you try that, take some body melatonin. You need sleep.
Yeah.
Okay? Go for 5 milligrams. Go for one. Go for the smallest dose you can get.
Okay.
And just play with it. But you need the sleep.
Oh, my gosh.
You absolutely need it. So you have to go with trade-offs. And when you take, just because you take melatonin and you take high doses of melatonin, maybe it suppresses your melatonin production while you're taking it and for some length of time after. But if you gradually wean yourself off rather than just stop cold turkey, you're teaching your body, oops, got to make a little more. Oh, we still have enough. Oh, got to make a little more. Got to make it, because it's a negative feedback loop. But if you just stop cold turkey, yeah, you're going to be miserable.
Yeah.
Right? So I would go for it because you need sleep.
Oh, my God. I haven't slept in 20 years. I haven't slept.
Oy. Have you tried progesterone?
I'm on progesterone.
And you take in liquid or, oral progesterone at night?
I take oral. So I'm just in the middle of having another appointment coming up here soon. And I don't have a lot of support on this from the physician that I was working with. He was like, you know what you're doing. You can adjust it accordingly.
What it means is, you know a hell of a lot more than I know, so just do what you want to do.
Yeah. So I've been cut back a little bit because I was taking Prometrium, and I don't know the dose right now, but I was taking
Prometrium is not progesterone. That's synthetic. You need to get off of that.
Oh, I thought it was bioidentical.
Double check it, but my understanding was Prometrium is not. It's a synthetic progesterone.
Good, I have an appointment coming up.
Good, check it out. Do some research, look it up. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I'm getting in my mind.
Okay, and then I have
sublingual progesterone. Sublingual drops or sublingual caps.
Okay, and I'm also on the cream, but I've kind of cut back. I started all of this because I had such bad endometriosis. And most of those symptoms are gone, and I just wanted to not take so much. I was just trying to balance it with my symptoms. But I have an appointment coming up, so I'll have a good discussion and talk about sublingual drops. That's good to know. Assumed I was going to a doctor for bioidentical hormones, that's what I was put on.
Yeah, check it out. Research it first before now. I might be wrong, but my understanding is that that's synthetic and that you want off of completely. That's dangerous. So your progesterone is, like, if you're taking it and you're 157, that's not a great range for being taken it.
Yeah, and I have to say, I'm not the best at being consistent.
Okay.
I'm kind of at supplement overload.
Yeah, I get it.
And it's good for me to have my appointment and get back on track and figure out what I actually need to take and not more than what I need to take.
Right, and make sure you bring this test in.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've tried that, and they're like, we don't know how to read those.
So they go by the blood?
A blood test, yeah.
And
but
how
it's
is
showing
your blood
low. It showed low on my blood test as well.
Yeah, you want to make sure you're taking enough of it. And then, you know, once you get your adrenals working better, right? And you're not draining all your pregnenolone down into cortisol and trying to fix this situation. Are you taking any of the pregnenolone?
No, I was waiting for this to come back and then figure out how I can get it. Now, apparently, I can get it in Canada by prescription if the doctor I go to will write a prescription. I don't know if they know anything about it. That's the thing, right?
Right.
If I can't, somebody lovely from this group has offered to order it and
mail it for you, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sure
that could be very helpful.
And they're going to arrest me, but.
Yeah, you'll get arrested for pregnenolone. And I think, you know, with pregnenolone, I like that better because you get your body do what it wants to. So assuming you're calming the stresses and you don't have a hidden infection somewhere and, you know, you're doing your meditations, heart math, whatever else to keep it down, then the pregnenolone will go where it needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
But if you stay, if you keep somebody stays in this hypervigilant sympathetic state and you give them pregnenolone, guess what? They're going to make more cortisol.
Oh, okay.
Right? And that's what you want, sort of, but you, in this case, but it's more from a stress response cortisol, like spiky kind of cortisol,
right,
versus maintaining your nice, healthy flow. So it's really important when you're working with people that if you're going to get them on the pregnenolone, that you talk to them about their stress response. You go, look, if you keep getting all stressed out and worried about all this other stuff, I'm going to give you this pregnenolone to try to support these other hormones, but hormones are steal. It's a greedy little guy. He's going to steal it all.
Okay. But, you know, it's really good to talk it out like this because I'm very much my mother's daughter. And I'm a worrier. I can't. I have a hard time. Like, even doing some of the heart math stuff, I have a hard time even that making a change. I can tell physically. So it's just really good. Like, it's good to reinforce that and have that conversation because I know I need to work on it. Yeah.
It's really good when you find yourself getting into worry. It's like worry is paying the debt twice.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to do that. You
good
just want to pay the debt once.
I don't even want to pay the debt.
You don't even want to pay the debt, right.
I just want to be calm and happy.
Just, yes, you don't need to do it. And even if it happens, you go, okay, what's going to happen? I keep having to have that conversation with my husband he's a worrier. And he'll be, I'm worried about this. I'm going to hear back about that. And I'm like, honey, you can't change it. It's whatever it is, it is. We just have to figure it out, and then we deal with it.
Yeah. It's so funny. My husband's like, that's what I'm learning. Like, we've been married for 7 years. I think I've really changed in the last 7 years. So,
yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Just let it go, you know, give away. Oh. Now, when I say let it go, I don't mean just, like, be lackadaisical and don't do what you need to do. But, I mean, just you set it in motion, and then you allow the response to happen.
Mm-hmm. Learning, working on it.
So you feel comfortable with coming up with what you should do with this, or do you need to review that?
I think so. Yeah. If I have
questions, you've heard me say it about 5,000 times already. So
yeah, I don't want to take any more calls. My only question I wanted to ask was about the other hormones on here, estradiol and the estrone.
Yeah, let's look at them. And this one, you have all three, so you can do the ratio. Do you know how to do the estrogen quotient?
No, I haven't.
It's let's see if I do it the right way. It's E1 plus E2 divided by E3. Let me just make sure I did that right. I sometimes get the numerator and the denominator. So if you've got, let's see, you've got estriol, estrone, and where's estradiol?
The top.
Very top. Oh, yeah, there we go. So we've got 0.8 plus 13.89 divided by 8.5. So what does that come out to be? Plus 0.8, it's like 14.5 divided by 8.5. So it's over 1. And let me just do it the other way and make sure 8.5. Let me look it up. I don't know why. I always have this mental block about the denominator and the numerator. So if I go to estrogen quotient. All right. Do you know your estrogen quotient? Oh, that was Dr. Okay, let's go back to Dr. Wright. Okay, here we go. Your EQ.
Three.
Yeah, EQ equals, oh, it's E3 over E1 plus E2, so you're low. So it's 8.5 divided by 0.8 plus 0.13. Okay, so here's the deal with this.
Okay.
Your estrogens are all kind of on the low side, but when you do the 8.5 divided by 0.8, so that's 14.7, 8.5 divided by 14.7 is less than 1. In fact, it's significantly less than 1. It's probably around 0.6. Okay, you want your estrogen quotient to be 1 or above, and that's going to confer protection from breast cancer and good thyroid function and all this other stuff. So yours is low, which means usually what you want is to have more estriol. And the way you get that is you push the pathway of the conversion, and you have to do that with iodine. Iodine tends to work well, and it works quickly. Where did I find your thing? I guess I can't find it again. I can't find it again.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for your test again. I had it. Maybe it's just in here. No, it wasn't in here. It's in one of these windows, and I don't know which one. I'll just click it again. Okay, there we go. Yeah, so you're low. So your estrogen quotient is a lot less than it should be. So the point, I would do the iodine. And as far as getting all these levels up, once you get your adrenals under control, these levels should come up. And then if you need to address them more specifically, you can. With the exception of the progesterone because of the sleep, I would definitely be addressing that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay?
Awesome, awesome.
Good. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Sure. All right. So let's see. We have Shonda and Twin Cities. That must be Heather. You must want yours done too, Heather, huh?
Yes.
All right. Let me go back to that mock form thing. Which one was it? Here we go. And I'll go back to entries. And then I saw Heather's here. And you've got the adrenal stress, and then what?
Yes, I uploaded my BioHealth, and then I've also just recently added my entire history of labs that I had accessible to me into the Master Health Tracker spreadsheet. So I just uploaded that.
Good.
In case there was some question about something, and you wanted to see something or other, but maybe
yeah, that's good to have because then I can ask. Let's look at your BioHealth.
And okay. I'm also totally willing to wait till the next PAFT call. Is that what it is? PAFT for the the adrenal practitioner. I'm totally willing to wait if you don't want to do another one of these and would rather do it.
I don't mind. So we're on a roll here, so we might as well. So what's your impression here?
Yeah, I think mine is actually pretty similar in a lot of ways to Shonda's, although for about the first half of her turn, I was messing around with my Join Me because my app wasn't working right. So I missed a lot of what you said because I was only half paying attention. But, yeah.
Well, so what stage?
So I was thinking stage 2, sort of borderline stage 3.
Yeah. That's what I would say, too. And you're pretty straight. Like, yours is pretty consistent. You're following the curve pretty similarly to what the curve is, with the exception that your nighttime one goes up a little bit.
Right. And I think part of the reason my nighttime one goes up a little is because I had really only been on a normal sleep schedule for a few days before I took this test. I've been waiting and waiting to do the test because I wanted to just sort of get myself back on a track and get myself on a normal sleep schedule. And I thought, I don't know if this is ever going to happen.
I know what you mean. I had mine for 4 years.
Yeah, but I made a really diligent attempt, and over a few days I managed to get to bed by 11 and get up at a normal time in the morning. But for a while there, my sleep schedule was completely flipped, and I was up, like, all night and just sleeping a little while in the morning. Mm. And doing really crazy stuff like that. Although I've been doing crazy stuff like that my whole life.
Yeah.
And I've been known to go many days without sleep just to get stuff done. So,
yeah. And your adrenals
I've been really diligent about the sleep hygiene lately and really working on getting to bed by 10 or 11. And it's been working, and I think Reishi really helped with that too.
Great. How does the Reishi help? Does it make you feel more relaxed or?
Honestly, I don't know. But what I was doing was I was just putting a little, like, quarter teaspoon of it right on my tongue right before I went to bed and laying down. And who knows, maybe it was placebo. But it seemed to help me just actually drift off to sleep. I've never had a problem waking up in the middle of the night. I've always been a very solid sleeper once I'm asleep. But my whole life, I've been a night owl and had difficulty falling asleep. And so, since childhood, since my elementary school years, and eventually I just started embracing that and being productive for a long time into the night and just not getting enough sleep. And I've been shorting myself on sleep for 30 years.
Yeah. Well, given all that, I mean, this is not bad. Right? So you're there, you're a borderline, you've got the right curve. You don't have some crazy shifts, so there's nothing crazy you got to do in terms of trying to get the rhythm back in. It's just bringing everything up. So you're close to stage three because you are, you know, right at the bottom. Your DHA is
well, and really for the last 9 months I've been getting more sleep than I ever had in my entire life. It hasn't been on the right schedule, but I've been sleeping at least 7 hours a night, and sometimes 8 or 9 or even 10 or more.
Wow,
so
that's awesome.
In the last 9 months, I've been sleeping more because my family's been gone.
Yeah.
I've just been able to make my own schedule, and so I've slept more than I ever have in my whole life.
Wow. All right.
So
I think
that played a big role in getting a little bit back on track at least.
Oh, man.
But I kind of had no choice.
Yeah.
I didn't really have a choice because I was really non-functional for a while.
Yeah, and look at your melatonin. Surprisingly how well you're sleeping, given you have practically no melatonin in your system.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I noted a few of the melatonin conversations on some of the cafe calls, and after I got my results back, I was thinking, should I be taking melatonin? It's the only thing that I haven't ordered yet from the whole spread of the cafe protocol, except for the phosphorylated serine. I haven't ordered that.
You don't need it.
Right, yeah. And,
there's no way
you know, it's sort of an indication of how fogged I am because I went through and I spent a lot of time in care ordering things, and then by the time that I uploaded my results, I looked at everything again and I was like, well, why didn't I order phosphorylated serine? I didn't remember that I didn't need it.
That you didn't need it. No, you have no indication for phosphorylated serine here. Yeah, so you've got, you're low, you're, everything's low. Where are you cycle-wise? Are you perimenopausal?
No, I'm not.
Wow.
At the time of this phase, I was toward the end of my follicular phase.
End of follicular. So you're even below, follicular is the lowest estrogen phase. And look at you, you're 0.4. So you're obviously fertile, and you have normal cycles?
I have normal cycles, but I think they're pretty short, at least what they were earlier in my life. They're sometimes 24, 25, 26 days.
Yeah.
And earlier in my life, I had more like 29, 30-day cycles. And they've been like that for a number of years now. And honestly, I have pretty much no libido. But I've been relatively low libido my whole life.
Yeah, you're almost rock bottom on testosterone. Your DHEA is low. Your estrogen is super low. Good thing is your estriol is hefty compared to the estradiol. So, and that's the protective estrogen, so that's good. But,
well,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see if you did one of those Dutch tests to see what your metabolites were looking like. My concern would be with such low estrogens at your bone health.
Well, and I do have my teeth are deteriorating along my gum line right now, and I've been looking into various natural protocols for reversing that, although I don't know if I'm going to have much luck. I think it might be too far gone. But I haven't gone in to get them filled yet.
Yeah, so it's a good possibility that you've already got some bone loss, you know, that you've got some osteopenia going on.
Well, and I was low with D for so long, too, and I'm sure that has played a role.
That has a huge role. And you combine the two, and that's going to... So
yeah.
you've got your D. Did you redo your D? Is that on the sheet?
I did. I redid the D, and so I went from... My test in mid-April was 24, or in early April was 24, and I've bumped it up to 85 with the mega dosing. And that was just, I just went in last Friday. So those results are from last Friday.
Okay, so 5:29. Okay, good. Where's your D? Your TSH is, okay.
All right. So, yeah, and if you're looking at my Master Health Tracker lab results there, the main things that I found a little disconcerting was that it seems like my TSH is just slowly going down, although I don't know how significant of a drop that is. And I do have some antibodies, although those don't seem like extremely high numbers.
I'm just looking at your D first, and I have to go down further, right? Vitamin D. There we go. Okay, good. 85, but it went up significantly. Ferritin's low. Okay, I'm just getting a big overview. And we'll go through a lot more of this on Friday when we do, or tomorrow, when we learn this stuff. But I'm just going to do a quick scan here. This would be good to bring up when we do some cases on that. I may want to do that, and then we could talk about it in more detail.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Let's see. So your thyroid, I'm not so concerned about the TSH. Your T4 went down a little, though. But your conversion is better because your T4 went down a little, quite a bit, but your free T3 stayed just barely under where it was. So it's an interesting perspective that your TSH went down when your T4 went down, right? To think about that, because TSH is the stimulating. Usually as the thyroid hormone goes down, the TSH goes up. So we've got to think about a pituitary. And sometimes with the adrenal stress, the pituitary is just like going crazy trying to create, you know, the ACTH to get your adrenals up, your T3 uptake, your T4. Yeah, I think this is one to watch because it's different, right? You're going from, you had a 1.89 back in 2011. We don't know what the rest of it was doing. You went to a 1.49,
right,
which is fine. You know, anywhere between 1 and 2 is fine. I got to update my ranges. There's a lot more evidence that under 2 is good. Your T4, though, went from 7.8 to 6.5, so I would expect that your TSH would go up. Your pituitary might be slacking on the job here. It may not have anything to do with your thyroid. And then if you look at conversion, like you went from a 6.4, and where's your total T4? Yeah, your free T4 and your total T4 both went down, but your free T3 did not go down significantly. So I'm seeing that your conversion is improved.
Well, that's heartening.
Yes, but the issue is, why is that TSH going down when the T4 is going down? I mean, we look at. Oh, are you doing any chelation? Are you doing any like EDTA or MCP, modified citrus type?
No, but I do consume a lot of chlorella and moderate amounts of why is it slipping my mind? You know, the leafy green that you put in guacamole?
Cilantro.
Yeah, cilantro.
So if you look at your antibodies, this is a transient, this is my minor changes here, but you did have a 14 on your TPO, went down to below 6, and now it's 9, so it's better than where you started from. We don't know what your antithyroglobulin was when you started, but the 3.2 is a little disconcerting. All right, let's look at this. Let's look at this tomorrow. It'll give me some chance to really look at it and kind of think about it. And I want, because I want to share not just what I'm thinking is going on. I want to share my thought process for all of you, so you see what, like,
yeah.
This is what, and I want to present it first, so you guys understand all the nuances of what they all mean.
That
but in this
one.
Case here, you definitely need to support the adrenals. Have you done any DHA? I can't remember because you probably said so
I'm
on
just,
this thing, but I just don't remember.
Okay, so I've just been getting really aggressive about the CAFE protocols over the last month. And some of the nutrients I've been on for a little over a month now, since mid to late April, but I just started with the more extensive list of nutrients, including the DHEA and the pregnenolone, and I'm using those at the stage 2 level.
Okay.
So I'm taking three drops of DHEA 3 times a day and 12 drops of the pregnenolone 3 times a day. So I use kind of the upper end of the range for stage 2.
Right. That's perfect.
And I really just started with that, and I also just started more extensively with the bees and what else? But I've been doing really. I did a vitamin C calibration in the middle of April, and I've been taking 14 grams of vitamin C daily since then.
Okay, good. So and that was your bowel tolerance. So you got to that was 75% of whatever caused the flush.
Well, it's not even when I did the vitamin C calibration. I'm not sure that I did it right because the thing that I paid attention to was. You know, loose stools, don't stop at loose stools. You want it to be, you know, a really liquid flush. And
yeah.
I think maybe I went too far, because I was up to 27, you know, doses, so like 27 half teaspoons. So, and before I stopped and I went, okay, I think I'm done, because I was getting pretty uncomfortable.
Okay, so you were having bowel movements that you were just not getting that liquid flush.
Right. I had been having very loose bowel movements, but I wasn't sure if I'd really reached the point, and I really wanted to get it right, so
wanted
I just
to
kept
do
going.
It. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think that I went a little too far. So the first week that I was doing the high doses of vitamin C, I think I was taking like 14 half teaspoons, so that would have been like 7 teaspoons. I mean, that was a lot. It was a lot. And I eventually reduced it to, I'm doing 3 half teaspoons 3 times a day. And when you calculate that out, that's 14 grams. About a little more than 14 grams.
And were
grams.
You uncomfortable when you did the other dose? Were you getting loose stools when you did the higher dose?
Yeah, it wasn't even so much loose stools, because that doesn't bother me so much, but I was just feeling just constant gurgling and just really uncomfortable bloating, and I just thought, I'm probably just doing too much, and it even took a little while for my body to adjust to the 14 grams, but I feel pretty comfortable taking the 14 grams now, and maybe a little more gurgly than I would normally have experienced before, but nothing that doesn't seem outrageous. So
okay.
I've just been going with the 14 grams, and I've been meaning to do another flush soon here.
Yeah, do the other flush soon. You can do it, since you know you have a lot, you can do it where you just started at every 15 minutes instead of starting at 30 minutes apart.
Well, that's what I did the first time. I was doing every 15 minutes.
Okay.
But I was doing a half teaspoon every 15 minutes, so I was thinking maybe this time I would do a teaspoon every 15 minutes.
Yeah, either three quarters or a teaspoon. You may not want to bump it up quite that far, but yeah. Do a little bit. How many hours did it take you to get to where you stopped?
You know, I don't remember exactly, and I ended up having a little period where I think I was on a call with you.
Oh.
I was on a call, and I got distracted, and I forgot to do it for a little while. So, I mean, it was like I started early in the morning, and I was into the afternoon by the time I decided
yeah.
I was
done. Yeah, then do
done.
It. Do it. Do it 1 teaspoon every 15 minutes. You don't want to be doing it for 5 hours. Ideally, you want to get it done within 2 to 3 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. The first one usually goes longer, but then you can know how much to take and to make it go faster earlier.
Yeah, and I figure once I get up to the point where I'm close to my current dosage, I can make the increment smaller or make
exactly.
make the dose smaller.
Yeah. Okie dokie. That sounds good. So any other questions?
So So my main question would be, and I think you did already answer this, should I be taking melatonin, and if so, how much? And then I also had a question about the, I should just make sure I'm talking about the right B6, I believe, which is not, yeah. I'm taking the B5 as laid out in the CAFE plan, but then I had seen information about B6 in one of your other supplement programs, like probably related to IRSPT.
I would do B6 for sure.
So I bought B6, but on your so I was looking at your supplement resources sheet, which is on part of the Vibrant Living Members website, and it says 25 milligrams twice a day. So that would be a total of 50 milligrams daily. But the capsules that I ordered, which were the pure encapsulations, and I think I actually bought two different brands of that, Seeking Health maybe two, and those are 50 milligrams in the capsule.
Oh, that's fine. They just do one.
Okay. And the bottle actually says, for their dosage is 2 capsules daily, so their dosage is 100
it's
milligrams.
It's high. There's a lot of range here, and it depends. And whenever you're working with the B6, you don't want to go above 100 of the P5P because you can get some other negative effects like neurologic stuff and all. And it's rare, but it's always what I teach people. But 50, usually I do 25 to 50.
Okay.
So I think in this case I would do it at bedtime. Are you doing the other sleep hygiene type of things that would stimulate melatonin, like going out? You said you're doing that, going out in the first morning sun, and then.
I'm doing the best I can with it. I usually get out right very soon after I wake up, and I'm trying to wind down more at night. But now my son is back with me, and so that's not always working so well over this
mm-hmm.
last week or so. But I'm doing what I can.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm
taking it a lot more seriously than I ever have before in my life, that's for sure.
Good. So you can either go with the B6 and the 5-HTP and the tyrosine, or you could try taking melatonin. Given you're so low, I would just try the melatonin and see. I mean,
so the melatonin would be instead of doing B6?
Well, the B6 you're going to need anyway. There's a lot of reasons for doing the B6. But I would say, because you still want to help your body make it too, and the B6 can be that limiting cofactor. But I would say, you know, it's so low that if you feel comfortable taking it, I would go ahead and take it.
Okay. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
This has been eye-opening, and I so appreciate also the BioHealth donation.
Oh, God, they are so awesome. And we're going to get, there's going to have us set up with somebody who's going to come in and just kind of, you may already know everything they're going to teach us, but they have a naturopath who's going to do a call with us to go over some of this stuff, too.
That'll be awesome.
Yep, that's fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dr. Reedery.
Sure. Okay, so Angela. Hi, Angela.
Sorry, my phone was on mute. I was trying to get back. How are you, Dr.
I am good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you. So I am working, I mentioned this last time too, but I was in the car on the side of the road the last time we were on the phone together. And I have been posting on the Facebook page, so I just want to acknowledge all the amazing women on there who have been commenting and supporting me and offering suggestions and advice. I'm very grateful. And I am working with a client trying to get his cholesterol level down. And he's a tough case because he's perfect everywhere else. but his LDL keeps climbing, and his very special boutique doctor thinks that the only thing to do is put him on Lipitor, more and more Lipitor, and keeps climbing. Meanwhile, his testosterone levels are lowering, and years ago before he was really healthy, he got prostate cancer, and he beat it, but they took out his prostate. So his testosterone levels are really important, you know, that they maintain, and they keep lowering. And so I've been working with him to try to figure out what's going on in there as to why his LDL is lowering. And I tried looking at blood sugar. I had him take a blood sugar questionnaire of yours, and it said may need support. I had him prick his finger for 24 hours. He loved it and did it for a week. I told him not to change his diet or anything, so he was still drinking wine at night. Even after wine and food, it wasn't climbing over 110. And if it was, it was like 115.
Wow.
I'm like, okay. So I kind of ruled that out.
Yeah, rule it out, but also I would still be careful about it. Do you know what his hemoglobin A1C is?
No, and you mentioned that in the last call, and someone mentioned it on a Facebook page, and I really don't know much about that.
Yeah, hemoglobin A1C is basically will give you kind of his average where his glucose has been. And there may be times he's spiking that he didn't catch. Who knows? But you really want to look at that as well because it contributes to the cardiac stuff. So there's a couple of things to look at to see what kind of risk he has. He may have familial hypercholesterolemia. I would have them do a VAP, V-A-P, on him, vertical analyzer. I'll show you what that looks like. VAP. It's about $100, $150. And it gives you, let's see if one of them has a good picture. I think this one has the pictures on it. Let's see if they have the picture.
I'm sorry, it's vertical analyzer what?
Yeah, vertical analyzer panel, I think. Let's see, yeah. That plus lipid panel. I'm trying to look for those, see if I could see the, how to read it. There we go. This might not be the site. Probably have it in my presentation. One of those presentations that we'll look at. I have an old one. You guys are going to get the new slides when we do them tomorrow. But and I'm going to put in.
So if he has hypercholesterolemia, would that be both HDL also?
Well, usually HDLs are low and the LDLs are high. Is that what he's showing?
Yeah, I'm going to check on his. While you're looking for that, I'm going to check on his HDLs also.
Okay. Got it. Let me get this out. All right. I'm just looking for that particular thing. Blood chemistry analysis. Let's see if it's in my. That's that. I want to do it in my. I think it's in here. These are old slides, but I'm pretty sure I had a picture of what that VAP thing looks like. Sugar. digestion, kidney, liver, cardiovascular. Here we go. Let's see if we have a VAP in here. Here we go. So this is the kind of stuff it will show. Let me make that bigger.
Is hemoglobin and hemoglobin A1C different tests?
They're very different. Yeah, and we'll do more of that. Well, you'll understand it more tomorrow when we do that. Slideshow from current slide. I'll just make it bigger so you can see it. So this is what the vertical analyzer panel will show you. It shows you a whole lot more than the regular test. So typically you just do LDL, HDL. LDL is calculated rather than directly measured, and then triglyceride and total. So that's what you get on a routine test. But with the VAP, they also do the VLDLs, the APOB and APOA, I believe. They do the very large fragments. They do various kinds of HDL. So it really gives you an assessment of what is going on here, right? So I would look at that. I would look at his CRP, C-reactive protein. Sometimes we have people with they have a familial issue and they don't have really bad readings. They have really good CRP. Their HDLs are decent. The problem is just that the cholesterol and LDLs are high and they're keeping everything down. Well, it sounds like he may not have the best habits if he typically is drinking wine and eating rich foods. So I would just get him on a really
clean. He eats really healthy.
He eats really healthy? So it's just the wine is the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably read that it's good for his heart. So let me see what else is in here.
Yeah, so you're on the computer, the INE office hours?
Yeah, I just went to, can you see my screen?
No, I'm opening up now.
Yeah, if you go to join.me/Dr. Rita Marie, that'll get you in to see what I'm showing on my screen.
Join.ine.
Join.me.
/Dr. Rita Marie.
Yeah. And I should see you come in. There's a bunch of people on there now.
Join.me.
Emmy, join me.
Oh, M-E.
Yeah. You see it?
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is some of the stuff with the VAP that you'll see. And this gives you a much more thorough assessment of what his risk is.
What is risk for heart disease?
What is risk for heart diseases? Because sometimes it's familial and people follow a pristine lifestyle. They've got all the rest of the markers are good. And you don't worry about it. Because artificially lowering it really isn't going to change anything.
Not beneficially. I mean, his doctor's been creeping up and adding more and more Lipitor, and it's just going higher. So, and then he says supplements and what you eat doesn't really matter. So it's just...
He says, or the doctor says, or...
The doctor.
Yeah, of course not. So, you know, there's all kinds of stuff you want to make sure he's on, like magnesium and protecting the heart, CoQ10, hawthorn berry. There's a lot of things you can do to protect him. I mean, assuming his diet is good and his stress is low, I would look at his adrenals, though, because if you look at the fact that, let me find that chart.
He's getting an adrenal test right now, actually.
Okay, so look at his adrenals, because you've got that pathway. I was going to show you that pathway if I can find that file. I had that pathway open last night in one of the things I did.
We have so much stuff.
Oh, God, yeah. And sometimes I don't always know where it's at.
I mean, just looking through the INE, I'm like...
Yeah, and that's only part of it, because the rest of it's still sitting on my hard drive that has to get put up. Let me find the slides. I just want to show you the picture so that you get a really good visual. This one, right? This is the presentation I did last night, kind of a public presentation. And I had one of the pictures I had in here was this. Let's show that view.
Oh.
slides. How do I do that? Slideshow from current slide. There, that you see the whole thing, right? So here's cholesterol. His cholesterol is high. His testosterone is low, right? Mm-hmm. So you would think, wait, guy with a high cholesterol has plenty of raw material to make testosterone. He may be shunting it all the way down to cortisol. He may need some B5 here to do the convert. Whoops. How do I get back? Yeah, he may need some vitamin B5 to help him convert his cholesterol into pregnenolone so it gets into the steroid hormone pathways.
Okay, so if he takes B5, it will help take the cholesterol that he has into the steroid hormones, which is testosterone.
Exactly. Exactly, because he should be able to make plenty of pregnenolone.
Got
so that's
it.
The stuff I'm thinking. So I would look at his hemoglobin A1C. I'd have him get a VAP. And to make sure the VAP includes CRP. You might have to also get a CRP, C-reactive protein. I don't remember if the VAP has that or not.
And that comes with the APO?
Yeah, it has the APO and everything else in here. The lipoprotein little a, the intermediate densities, the very low densities are those subclasses of the HDLs. And then they do some ratios to tell you if his risk of metabolic syndrome. Let me just see. C-reactive protein is, don't think it's included. So I would do, for him, I would do C-reactive protein, hemoglobin A1C, and the VAP. And stay tuned tomorrow for a good description of the difference between hemoglobin and hemoglobin A1C, and you'll have a lot of great information after that.
Great. In case I can't make that, is that...
it's all recorded. Everything's recorded. It'll be part of the...
Where are these recordings found? Because I haven't... The one thing I can't find is the recordings on the website.
Oh. So the recordings of these calls are in a different place from the recording. So here's recordings, and it tells you where the various recordings would be. So for the this call is the INE office hours, so you go there. For all of our NEPT calls, they would be here. And
awesome.
For anything that's a module, right, so you go to your modules on the side, well, you're going to see over here is a NEPT. This is all our modules. I've got a bunch of them there. But once you click on this, it might show on here. Blood chemistry, that's what we're going to do tomorrow. All of those recordings are going to be as part of the module. So sometimes we record the modules live, like see that, and then it'll look like this. These aren't filled in yet, but after we do it tomorrow, it will be.
So this module just opened?
Yeah, it's not open for you yet. I get special privileges. But this is what it'll look like when it is open.
You're going to introduction into it first. Okay, great.
Yeah, so tomorrow we're going to go through as much of this as we can get through. We also have a lot of this recorded from a previous time, but I just wanted to I wanted to re-record it, so that's why we're doing an all-day thing. And that way you guys can ask questions in between the sections. Because I felt like if I just gave you this module as a pure self-study and then said ask questions, it wouldn't be the same as me going through this and go, okay, now what are your questions about CBC? Okay, what are your questions about all the immune markers? What are your questions about each of these sections? And then we can go on. So
awesome.
That's what we'll do tomorrow.
That's pretty exciting.
Okay.
Okay.
And then next week we're going to have Dr. Weatherby come in who gave us, do you know how to use the blood chemistry piece? The resource, the blood chemistry, glucose. Lynn, help, where is it? Oh, and NEPT course resources, lab resources. So this, and this will all be incorporated in this module. So Dr. Weatherby gave us, everybody, you guys are like, it's amazing. I was just so blown away by his generosity, the same as with BioHealth when they just gave us all those tests. Why isn't it on here?
What did he give us?
He gave us access to the blood chemistry software that he sells, and I pay $67 a month to get. He just said, "Yeah, you're a good customer, and these guys need to get to practice it while they're learning." And he just gave it to you. You each have your own account, and you should have gotten an email with that.
What?
Lynn, help! Where is it? I thought it was under this page.
What day are you on the phone with him next week?
We're trying for next Friday, so a week from tomorrow. So you'll, and he's going to go through and show us how to use the lab. He's going to, you know, have a screen share the whole bit. All right, Lynn, I don't know where this is. Let me see if she wrote it in. I think we have to get Stacy to put it on that page. All right. Anyway, we'll figure it out. I'll show you guys another time. But if you haven't had a website tour with Lynn, go ahead and schedule that, because she'll show you all the goodies and where everything is and how you can access it, because it's just a wealth of information.
Okay, I will do that. First,
I don't want you to be overwhelmed. I want you to be organized about it, because there's great stuff out here.
Thank you, because there's a lot of amazing, very heavily depth information.
Yep.
Here, so
can you hear me?
I can.
I can
hear Lynn.
Okay.
Where is it?
It's under resources, and then NEPT resources, and then your little sidebar comes out with the lab resources.
That's what I'm on.
Okay. So you're looking for blood chemistry software, right?
Right.
Okay. So the way to access it is under the lab ordering for NEPT practitioners.
Oh, okay. We have to get Stacy to make a separate thing.
Okay.
Yeah, get her to put a separate link that goes to give them the directions, or just gives them the directions. So it's under here?
Yes.
Where?
It's right under, it's alphabetical, so it says blood chemistry software.
Oh, yeah, that needs to be separate. Because it's too confusing. It's confusing me.
Okay.
So
all right.
It's confusing me. I don't want anybody else to be confused. So basically, Angela, what you do is you go to bloodchemsoftware.com, and it's going to ask you for your user ID and password. You're going to use the same user ID and password you use to get into our site.
Great.
So whatever, it's your email and that crazy password, unless you changed it. So you go in there and you'll get in and you'll have your own account and you'll be able to upload or type in basically all your lab results whenever you do it. And we'll go through this tomorrow and then we'll do it again with Dr. Weatherby in a week. But he's going to come on and going to give us a good tour and tutorial on how to use that software. It's pretty amazing.
And that will be recorded as well, right? Because I'll be in Canada.
Yeah, everything will be recorded.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
Okay.
And you should have received a welcome letter. It's a couple of months ago, probably in March, that welcomed you to the program and gave you all of this information.
I'll have to go back and check. That's when I signed up with you guys in March. It was a little bit late. So.
And Lynn, is there any, for people who have signed up since that letter went out, do we have a facility?
I've been going back and giving them the list of people.
Great.
And it's the same thing with BioHealth, so they get their access to the free.
They get their free lab, Awesome. Yep. Awesome, super, thank you.
And which one do I go to test the hemoglobin and the VAP?
Yeah, well, you either ask him to get his doctor to do it, or you can go to directlabs.com and he can order it from there. So hemoglobin A1C, make sure it's hemoglobin A1C, not hemoglobin, because he's already done that. And then the other thing you might want to do is homocysteine as well, because these are all going to give them independent risk factors.
Actually, I'm getting that from an LCAT test that I just ran on him. They were testing his homocysteine.
Oh, good.
And doing like a methylation. I have pretty much free range of resources to do whatever I want with him, whatever
awesome.
Test, whatever treatment. He's amazing.
Awesome.
And I've worked with him for years, so there's a strong level of trust there, and he knows exactly like where I am in this program and what I'm doing. So
fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah.
So hemoglobin A1C, homocysteine, you already got ordered, the VAP.
Yeah.
And then C-reactive protein, CRP-HS. And that'll give us a much more thorough cardiac picture for him.
And C-reactive protein, is that the level of inflammation?
Yes. And it's the specific for cardiac.
I might have actually done that for him, but I'll check.
Okay.
I'll get all this stuff together by the next time we get on the phone.
Good. And then we'll learn tomorrow. I'll review how to put everything into the lab spreadsheets and how to put them into the program so that you're not sending me to look at these individual lab things, and you're not looking at individual lab things. You're going to have everything tabulated and on a graph, similar to what I showed you earlier with Heather's. See, she's got all the way back from 2011 all the way up till now, and she just gets to put them all in, and you can see what the patterns have been.
And okay? This is on. Great.
This is all there. We'll go through it tomorrow on the call, and if you miss it, you'll just, you know, play the resources. But it's basically back here, resources, lab, tracking sheet. Where is that? Lab resources. Oh, right here on this lab sheet. And then lab results tracking sheet. Where is that? Why is that not on here? The master practitioner. Okay, I guess I need a tour. Lynn, schedule me for a tour of the website. I need to know where everything is.
I keep muting myself. The Master Health Tracker is, hold on, I have to go back to my site, it's under resources, NEPT resources, and hold on. So you just do NEPT resources, and it's at the bottom of useful documents.
Oh, I wonder if she should make this page in a submenu as well. I think she should. She can do a double link to this so that it's there, because that confused me. Okay, so here we go. Right here, Master Health Tracker.
And that's what you're on.
Yeah, and you can download that to your own computer and then, you know, create one for each of your clients.
Amazing.
Okay.
Awesome. So just to recap, and by the time I see you next, I'm going to test this hemoglobin A1C and MVAP. Both of those I can do at directlabs.com or his own doctor.
Yep, and CRP and hemoglobin A1C as well. Right.
Yeah, hemoglobin A1C with VAP, that includes the CRP.
I don't think it does. I don't think it does. I think you might have to check to see. I think you have to order it separately. But it'll list everything that's in it.
Great. And then I'm also going to have the homocysteine and adrenals already coming. So I'll have those four or five if they aren't together.
Right.
I get them on B5, definitely some CoQ10. I'm already working on that, magnesium and hawthorn. And just get his stuff organized so when I come back.
And make sure you've got his thyroid numbers, because low thyroid can contribute to high cholesterol. So we want to rule out all the possible causes.
Yeah, that's my whole trip with him, and he's loving it. He's thinking it's amazing. So low thyroid and low adrenals, that's why I was testing his adrenals. Thyroid, I want to test T3 and 4.
T3 and, the whole panel, thyroid panel. We'll talk about that tomorrow. T3, free T3. You want to make sure you have free T3. And I'm going to move on to Steph.
Thank you.
Sure. No problem.
Awesome.
Okay, so Steph.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay. Hopefully Steph is still there. Check to see if Steph's still there, Lynn.
Is she Vancouver, BC?
Yeah. Is she on the line? Open her line then. Can you open it?
Yep.
Are you on? Yeah, good.
Is that you, Steph?
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Okay, let's see what we've got for you. Where should we start? Is one of these the adrenal?
So it's like a complete hormone panel, and I'm really not familiar with that lab and the way they've laid it out.
Oh, great.
It's for a client.
Okay, this one. This is what I think we should do this on our next NEPT call, because I've also got one of these for this one I can't do in 5 minutes. I can't do this in 15 minutes.
Cool.
At least a half an hour.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we'll do both of them together. That way, I'll do the one. It'll take longer. And then I'll do the second one, and you'll already have some of the feel for it.
Okay.
In general, I'm looking at this. Estrogen quotient looks good. 4-hydroxy-2:16 ratio. It's really kind of lower than I want it to be. Let's see, pregnenolone, pregnantriol. Yeah, there's a lot here that has to got be gone through. Is this person on progesterone?
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. And she was
now
on
I
DHEA.
Can tell? Okay. Right here, this thing. That's super high. You don't see that unless somebody's on progesterone. It's a metabolite of progesterone.
Right.
And then I'm going to just look at some other little quickies. That's just the full one. Yeah, progesterone bias. Okay, yeah, this will be a good one to go on in the next call.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Oh,
yeah, you're welcome. Is this all related to the same person?
Yeah, it is. So the Master Health Tracker that I sent you is the same person.
And it's the same person. Okay.
Yeah.
They show the cortisol. They don't show their ranges. So this is a different lab, so who knows.
Yeah
I'll look at them.
I punched them into the, because I have them,
good.
I punched them into the other thingy. Okay.
Oh, good. Good. So they're there. Perfect. Then I'll be able to tell. Super.
Thank
yeah.
You.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one to do, and I'd really like it for Tony to be on when we do both of them, hers and yours, because you'll glean different things as you watch me go through them.
Oh, awesome.
And that's another one where we're going to have Michael Kaplan, who's an amazing clinician, naturopath over at Meridian Valley, who does those tests. I talk to him a lot on the phone when I get these results back, and he's agreed to do a call for us. We're probably going to do it closer to when we're doing that module, but he's going to do a call for us and really go through some of the nuances of reading it. So
awesome. Fantastic. Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Hi.
Whoops, that's my email. You don't want to see my email. That's scary. it's too scary. Okay. So I've got one more call here. Maura Collins. Hello, Maura. Escondido, California? Maybe that's not your name.
It's me. I think it's Sequoia.
Oh, Sequoia. Oh, my goodness. It must
yeah,
be you're calling on one of those. How crazy is that?
Yeah, so I'm calling from Gmail phone. So.
Okay. They give you a fictitious name and location. How bizarre.
I just twigged when you said California because that's what it did last time.
Okay.
Okay, so I wanted to give some feedback about, you know, we went over my lab from the 205E before.
Yes.
And you were suggesting because my melatonin was low to take something, the precursors. So I found this, and it's from your part of the world. It's from Austin, Texas.
Oh.
And a company called Onnit. Have you heard of them?
No.
O-N-N-I, where is it? I think it's O-N-N-I-T or something like that. Yes, O-N-N-I-T.
Okay.
And they have this, it's called New Mood. And we had it here in Canada.
Oh, wow.
So, and in it is L-tryptophan, valerian, German chamomile, magnesium, lemon balm, spine date seed, 5-HTP, vitamin B3, vitamin D3, and vitamin B6. And it's a clean, it only has the capsule and no fillers.
Oh, nice. And how much is 5-HTP?
How much? It's in tiny little writing, hang on.
Yeah.
50 milligrams per capsule.
Okay. That's good.
And anyway, I took a couple of capsules the first night, and I was out like a light.
Yay! All right, we got to write this one down, guys, who are having trouble with sleep.
Yeah, I thought I just have to let you know about this because it was so effective. And I actually dropped it down to one capsule, and it's still very effective.
Okay, so it's the company name was O-N-N-I-T?
Yeah, Lynn's just put a little...
Oh, good. Lynn put a little thing in there.
Yeah. But... It was, and it's called New Mood.
New Mood, okay.
Yeah, and it's your local company, so
that's cool to know. Oh, I don't see it. Oh, she put it in this chat. We have too many places where we can do it.
Yeah.
Okay, good. New mood. I'm going to look into it.
Yeah, so I just thought I wanted to give that feedback, especially as we were going through some of them again today. And there was some people with low melatonin.
That's right, yeah.
That feedback.
That's
and
awesome.
Also,
so that would be Shonda and even Heather to look at that. Okay, we'll have to look at it on here. Super. Thank you for sharing that.
So I also have a question. I have a client, and she has a cyst on her left ovary, and it's gone from 4 centimeters to 6 centimeters, and her doctor wants to do an operation to remove her left ovary and fallopian tube, and her right fallopian tube.
Why do they want to remove the tubes?
She wants, because she says that most people develop it on the other side, and she wants to do it preventatively. I can tell you how I feel about it, that
okay.
I am not the person. And she is not keen to have it done. So what would you suggest? I want to be careful about what I say.
Yeah.
I don't want to give my direct opinion, but I have said to her, you know, there are you do have a choice of whether to do this or not, and I have said, you know, your numbers are coming down because she's the one with Hashimoto's, and her antibody numbers are very slowly coming down, but at least they're on coming downside. And I've just put her on selenomethionine, because apparently that helps to get the numbers
down
for
right.
the antibody. So that, you know, and she's already doing everything else that we've, you know, the basics, what I call the basics.
So is she got her blood sugar managed? Because if it's is it a single cyst? It could be just a single functional cyst, or it could be an indication that she's got some PCOS going on.
She has, she's still working on the blood sugar. Like, you know, she sends them to me every week. She's very good at doing that. And she does tend to keep them under 110. But the other day I just said, you know, what went on in your household when you were younger around meal times? Because I noticed, you know, even regardless of what she's eating, her blood sugar seems to go up afterwards, just shortly after. And so she did say that when she noticed that after she made the meal and she sat down to eat it, her heart was pounding. So I think there's definitely an emotional link there.
Yes.
You know, because her father was an alcoholic, and her mother didn't really like doing the food for the table, but she did make food for the family.
Right.
So, you know, So I've suggested doing more on the heart math more
right.
regularly than she's doing, because I definitely feel an emotional connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There could definitely be an emotional connection. So she's had issues with blood sugar before. Have you checked her fasting insulin and her hemoglobin A1C?
I don't have them in front of me now. I have sent them to you before,
okay.
but I don't actually have them in front of me just now.
Right.
The other thing to do would be to check the
Meridian Valley or that Dutch panel, to really just look at what the hormones are doing, because it might be, you know, some progesterone-estrogen imbalance.
She's just about to, hopefully in the next couple of weeks I'll get the results back, because she's just sent off a 205E plus a overnight cortisol.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
So
that's good. So I would say that's a good place to go. And I would think that, because oftentimes with the cysts, there's usually a pretty significant estrogen dominance over progesterone. You know, and sometimes simple things like Vitex to help with the progesterone production can be helpful. Some people get good results with myo-inositol with ovarian cysts. I would have you look into, I was just looking that up, is Tori Hudson. Is a naturopath, and she wrote a book called The Encyclopedia of Women's Health. She addresses a lot of those things. You may want to look into getting her book or checking out her website. Tori, T-O-R-I, Hudson.
Okay, I got that.
Yeah. She's got a lot of great stuff, and she's got a book. You can get it on Amazon, The Encyclopedia of Women's Health.
Okay, that's great, right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay,
we have
thanks.
To wrap up because we're actually over time and into the next call, which you guys are all welcome to stay on, but I do have to be official and close this call and then start the next one because there's people from a different group that could be here. Not sure who's going to be here, but thank you all for great. What a great call. What a great set of labs. And we'll have a lot of fun tomorrow for those of you who can make it. Those of you in NEPT can make it tomorrow for our lab analysis. It's going to be awesome. And, you know, the more you do this, the more you get familiar with it. It's just repeat, repeat, repeat that gets you to really understand it and know it. So just be patient with yourselves. It's a learning curve. It's taken me a lot of years to get to the point where I feel totally, you know, confident with this. Okay? And I can't resist opening. You're welcome. I'm going to open up Glenn's line because he's there and he's had his hand up. So, Glenn, how are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Rita Marie. I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Excellent. Thank you.
Can bone loss be reversed?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've seen people go and do their bone densities and then go put them on a protocol and get them reversed in six months. And
okay.
It depends on how willing they do it. Go to betterbones.com. Dr. Susan Brown, I interviewed her on my radio show a while back. She's got a lot of great resources for that. And in general, you know, just they've got to be on a good diet. They've got to get very much more alkaline than the acidic. It's not just about eating calcium. It's about the majority. I love nettles, alfalfa, and horsetail supplementation. I put somebody on. She wasn't willing to do a lot of the diet stuff, unfortunately. She was a friend of mine, and I was adjusting her. And she wanted to do what minerals she could do. Put her on horsetail, nettles, and alfalfa in smoothies every day, and then she was willing to, what else did she do? She did the smoothies, she did the nettle horsetail and alfalfa, and I think she started taking vitamin C. It wasn't much, and in 6 months, some of her numbers started to reverse.
Okay. You said horsetail, nettles, and
alfalfa. Oat straw is another one. They're high in silica and trace minerals, and it really helps to support the bones. There's
okay.
other things. There's eating for bone health. You guys have access to the ERC resources, and if you go and log into the Vibrant Living members site, that's where the vital calls and everything else are, and cafe and all, and you can go to ERC Core Foundations, and there's a page in there on bone health, and there's a link to a little guide I put together and a video that I put together on bone health.
Okay.
Taking its little time here. There we go. So it's under Pillar 4 Nutrition. And then under there's a whole bunch of different, like eating for bone health, eating for brain health. So wealth of resources in here. And these are like cool things that you can learn to share with people. And
that's in the ERC?
It's in ERC, nutrients, protein, carbohydrates. Yeah, under healing foods, we have a bunch of different things. And we have eating for bone health, eating for brain health. So you go to eating for bone health. Once I get in there, I'll pop that in the chat so you can see the link directly. But you do have to log into it first, but then you don't have to go through all those layers to get there. Here we go. Copy. Somebody else could probably get there faster. My computer's in sluggish slowdown mode. Okay. Paste. There you go. Okay?
Yeah, thanks.
And then, yeah, you'll see there's a video, short video that I put together followed by an action guide, and then there's also a recipe guide.
Okay.
And there's another video linked somewhere down here. Yeah, here, right here, is the Eating for Bone Health Guide, and then there's a bunch of different videos.
Okay.
These are really good videos that are loaded with bone supporting. Bones Don't Crack Crackers and Bone Building Super Salad, and there's a whole bunch of stuff in there. Okay?
Okay, and that's all in the Vibrant Living Members. So.
Yeah, you go to Vibrant Living Members, you log in, and then you go through the ERC piece over here.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, thanks.
You're welcome. All right, so you guys, just in general, you've got a lot of access to a lot of stuff in ERC that are modules that we haven't gotten to yet in this program. So it's a great way to just kind of get the basics and get a working knowledge of some of these topics that maybe you're not as familiar with. And then when we do it within the NEPT program, we'll drill deeper and give you resources to use for working with your clients. So it gives you kind of like an overview, and then we'll drill in deeper when we get there. So thanks for being here, everybody. It's been a great call. Lots of great information. I'll open up the lines and say goodbye. Have a great rest of the day, and we'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, thank you.
You're
welcome. Thank you. Bye.
My pleasure.